How just 2 terrible weeks can more than erase 2.5 months of economic growth. I'm David Brancaccio. The stay-at-home orders that shut down wide swaths of the U.S. economy were enough to produce the biggest quarterly contraction in the U.S. economy since the 2008 financial crisis. Let's go right to economist David Kelly, the chief economist at J.P. Morgan Funds. Greetings, Dave.
Good morning.
So we've talked to some economists who thought we might be able to salvage just a sliver of growth in this January to March first quarter, when we now know there was no growth. In fact, we got the opposite.
That's right. I mean, we got a pretty big decline in GDP here, down 4.8%. And to be honest, that's just sort of the edge of the storm here. I mean, there's the power of averaging helping you here. January was fine, February was fine, the first part of March was fine, and then the roof fell in. But this is an average of growth, and even with just the second half of March very badly hurt, you get this big contraction. So we think the second quarter will be down something like 25% in terms of real GDP. So it's going to be a much, much bigger drop. Overall, the GDP decline these first two quarters of the year will be about twice the size of the GDP decline of the great financial crisis. I mean, the only good news is this is basically where we think we are, and we do know that this should be not more than a year or a year and a half at worst. And then once we've got a vaccine, this economy is going to come roaring back. But still, it's a pretty unsettling number.
Unsettling is one word for it. Now, the policymakers at the Federal Reserve will wrap up their two-day meeting in a few hours. It's not really about lowering interest rates. They're very low. What are you looking for?
Well, yes, I think the Fed is already all in for right now. I mean, they've expanded their balance sheet tremendously. The federal government keeps on borrowing money, and they keep on lending it to them, basically, by buying those government bonds. I think the Fed will say they will support whatever, do whatever is necessary to try and support this economy in this extraordinary time. But I think a good question to ask is there any limit to how many government bonds they'll buy? Because when the economy recovers, the Fed's going to have to get a little bit more backbone here, because you don't want to have a situation where they will finance humongous deficits forever. That could be quite dangerous.
All right. We'll see if there's a limit. David Kelly at J.P. Morgan Funds, thank you very much.
Anytime.
20 minutes into the trading day, we find the Dow up 452 points, 1.9%. The S&P up 2.1%. The NASDAQ up 2.5%. The economic contraction data isn't what's helping stocks, but there is some promising news from a pharmaceutical company. Gilead Sciences suggested this morning its closely watched antiviral drug might function more quickly than thought. The drug has still not been shown to safely work as a COVID treatment. Starting Friday and through Monday, 49 shopping malls will reopen in certain states where that's permitted. That's according to the New York Times. Reportedly, the owner, Simon Property Group, says it'll make available to shoppers free CDC-approved face masks, packets of hand sanitizer, and infrared, check to see if you have a fever, stations. Texas, Indiana, Georgia, Missouri, Tennessee, South Carolina, and several other states. It's up to the stores inside these malls to decide if they're reopening as well. Ford lost $2 billion in the first quarter of 2020. The company says it expects to lose another $5 billion in the current April to June quarter, given everything. Marketplace's Jack Stewart reports.
Like the rest of the automotive industry, Ford is dealing with shuttered production lines and slumping sales. Ford CEO Jim Hackett told investors that pulling the emergency brake on the global economy was impossible to anticipate.
We didn't realize there was an off switch. We knew it might go into a recession, more like a dimmer switch, but off.
Since mid-March, Ford has had to shift its focus from building profit-making pickups to producing face shields, ambulances, and respirators. One brighter spot for the company is that there is still demand for its best-selling F-150 truck, and dealers have been able to sell from their inventory, says Jessica Caldwell at Edmunds.
A lot of people that need trucks, they need trucks regardless of pandemic or not.
Ford is going to start gradually bringing its European plants back online next week with new safety procedures for workers, and says that could provide a template for restarting in the US too. I'm Jack Stewart for Marketplace.
President Trump is invoking his special authority under the Defense Production Act to keep meat processing plants open. Some plants closed after becoming hotspots of infection. The recommended new safety procedures are not hard and fast rules. The Ag Department is requiring good faith efforts to comply. James McDonald is a professor of agricultural economics at the University of Maryland. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, David. Good to be here.
Now, you've been inside some of these plants. You think it'll be a challenge to find ways to keep workers away from each other?
This is a very difficult situation for meatpacking plants, I think, more so than any other type of agriculture or food processing plant. They're very large. There's a lot of people in there. The way the processing lines are set up is people are really very close to one another. And it is going to be very difficult to enforce social distancing rules, I think, within those plants.
And I suppose companies can't actually force workers worried about getting sick to actually show up on the job.
No, they can't. And what's more, many of those workers actually are sick, which is why many of them are staying home.
Yeah. So that's going to be another challenge. And it's not just the plants closing, disrupting the meat supply, right? On the demand side, school lunch programs are closed down. Restaurants that normally would be bringing in a lot of meat products are closed.
Well, that's right. There's also what we would call a demand shock in that we're now buying almost all of our meat through supermarket chains. So we've had to shift a lot of meat, and that's probably more than half of beef, away from food service and restaurants and through supermarket chains. And that's a considerable amount of effort to repackage and recut that beef for the supermarket outlets.
We're already seeing this expressed in meat prices in some butcher sections of grocery stores looking a little bit thin.
Yes. In the last week or two, you've seen wholesale prices for meat rising fairly sharply. And I think we'll probably continue to see wholesale prices and ultimately retail prices going up for all kinds of meat products, but beef and pork in particular.
There's this difficult-to-face issue that because of these disruptions, you're going to have some meat processors having to, what do we say, put down their animals because they can't get them to market.
That's right. That's already happening. The term that's usually used is depopulation. Some animals at farms are being put down because the plants can't really handle them at the pace they're currently working at.
Sounds like it could be millions of animals.
2 million in a recent story in Maryland and Delaware, in the poultry production area there. Yeah.
All right. James McDonald is a professor of agricultural economics at the University of Maryland. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
A buddy of mine sheltering in place in Western Canada observed recently that in the last 24 hours, he had done 80% of the gardening he's ever done in his whole life. Well, here in the New York City area, nurseries and gardening centers are open. I can't send you a bouquet of flowers to help you get through your day, but I am sending you Victoria's piece here out of Britain.
On the first sunny Saturday of the UK's coronavirus lockdown, I decided to get my hands dirty at home in my front garden, planting tulip bulbs I bought in Holland last year. And apparently, I wasn't alone. At that time, people weren't just stockpiling toilet paper and flour. They were also placing online orders for things to spruce up their flower beds.
We're actually having to turn off the website or prevent people buying certain product categories just to be able to catch up, really.
That's Ed Webb, chairman of Webb's Garden Centre in the middle of England. He said the company has been attracting about four times the number of customers it normally would during the spring selling season.
Historically, our online business has really been built around higher ticket lines like furniture, big landscape material products, and they're still at peak demand and flying out. But what we've seen a ginormous increase in is a demand for things like packets of seeds, plants, grow your own, all the pots and propagation material that goes with that.
While Webb's and other garden centers around the world might be seeing a surge in demand, the picture isn't nearly as sunny at the start of the horticulture supply chain. Data show that in the 5 weeks to April 17th, sales at Royal Flora Holland, which is the world's biggest plant and flower auction, dropped on average 50% each week from the year prior. That's meant many growers are now throwing away up to 80% of their production, according to Marco van Zijverden, boss of the Dutch Flower Group.
production time for some products 8 weeks, some products 10 weeks, for other products even 3 months. So you cannot stop it right away. We cannot keep the flowers for months in a cold room. It's a fresh product. It's a perishable.
But Marco said some growers across the world have had no choice but to shut down large portions of their production. That stoppage will likely cause another wrinkle as economies begin to reopen later this year.
June is very big, for example, for a wedding season. So the whole wedding season probably is shifting to August, September. Then there can be a huge pressure on the volume of flowers. But it's difficult to judge that. It's so difficult.
The clouds may be starting to clear, though. The rate at which sales have declined at Royal Flora Holland has been slowing in each of the last 3 weeks. That's also about the time Holland's Flower Council launched a campaign across Germany, France, the Netherlands, and the UK, encouraging customers to continue buying flowers and plants to let hope bloom. A rosy disposition, despite thorny times. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. We are from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.